Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Kevin Wilds, Eric Mangini is with us. The navy blue blazers are upon us. We got a lot going on on this Tuesday morning. You guys look great. Purple. You do. The Dallas Cowboys seem to be primed. I got color issues for a division title, and Dak's not even signed yet. Nick's got the Patriots still winning the AFC East. We'll tell you why he says that in the tweet that absolutely fired up Tom Brady, and not in a good way. And that is where we start this morning. Here we go. We have heard a number of reasons why Tom Brady wanted out of New England. One we didn't hear until now was his deteriorating relationship with offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. New York Football reporter Gary Myers tweeting out that their relationship had soured, apparently, to the point of no return, to which Brady quickly responded, "Please stop this nonsense. Please be more responsible with reporting. 19 years together and brothers for life." Nick, Gary Myers came back out, responded to Tom's post with this: "I had great sources, sources plural. You can trust what Tom said publicly. I trust what I learned went on in private." What do you make of all of this?
Well, I find the whole dynamic here fascinating. And I think Brady's last clause of his Instagram post, when he said brothers for life, is somewhat telling. Now, I'm the only person on the show today without a brother. But Jenna, you have a brother. I know how much you love him and respect him. I also know he's a wildly successful plastic surgeon, and that kind of irritates you at times. Wilds has a brother. He's a brilliant scientist. Wilds can love him as much as he is. He's a little jealous of his intellect. And Mangini's got a brother who, best I can tell, is living the high life in Australia. And I think Mangini visits as much as says, that'd be a nice life as opposed. So I feel like you can love your brothers and still get a little sick of them at times. And so I believe Tommy loves Josh McDaniels. I also think the two might have been a little sick of each other. Let's take Tom's own words. We know Tom was frustrated with the offense last year. We know even when they were 8-0, Al Michaels called him the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in football because of his frustrations with the offense, and that he didn't have a bigger say in the offensive game plan, which I would argue Tom has earned. And if you're Josh McDaniels, and we now know from Tom Brady's own words this offseason, Tom would simply decide, I'm not throwing to that guy. That receiver, I'm crossing him off the list. You put him in the game, I'm not throwing to him. I would imagine as an offensive coordinator, you might say, well, that's not exactly how I drew it up. So, coach, I believe they can love each other, but also both may be excited for this next phase and excited for a fresh relationship, if you will.
Yeah, any relationship after 19 years is going to have some points where they're stale. But the idea to say that was the reason that he left, I think that is irresponsible. And I think it's unfair. And the one clip that we keep showing is the one clip that's available after 19 years, which is amazing. You have one sideline blow up with guys that are in intense competition week in and week out. And that's all that's available. And that's indicative of how the relationship is. The idea that Josh wouldn't incorporate things that Tom wanted to do, that's just silly. Josh is an extremely smart guy. These guys came up together. If Tom had an issue, he could have always gone to Bill. But that's not the case. That's not who Josh is. It's irresponsible, too, from Gary's perspective. Tom has kids, and the idea that you're going to put – or Josh has kids, and the idea that you're going to put this on Josh and he's the reason that Tom Brady left New England, I don't think it's right. You know, Gary's been known to stir things up with or without the most solid of sources.
Well, Coach, I'm going to throw it back to you for a question about coordinators' relationships. But me personally, I was happy to add another reason for Tom Brady leaving to my collection. I've been collecting cards. I've got the Belichick card. I've got the lack of weapons last year. I've got it's a family decision. I've got tired of a grind of New England. Now I've got the money. I've got length of contract. I got not being treated nicely in meetings. I've got the weather. I've got he wanted a new challenge. No, he just wanted to have fun. And now I got the Josh McDaniels card. So I've got a nice set of like Pokemon cards here of reasons why Tom Brady had to go to Tampa. But, Coach, I want to throw it back to you. Is a relationship between a quarterback and an offensive coordinator a consistent source of tension just around the NFL? Or is it more just like, I don't know, can it be a source of tension? I guess my question is.
Well, whenever you've been with someone for 19 years, there's going to be a lot of sources of tension. And things can get a little bit old, and things that were okay early in the relationship may grate on you a little bit more as you both get older. Now, that being said, you also develop a mutual respect of what each person brings to the table. And these guys have been complimentary, and these guys have helped each other in so many different ways. So that, to me, would overcome the tension that exists. And yeah, there is natural tension that exists. But that being said, when you have a relationship that's as deep as theirs, you can move past that tension pretty quickly and understand that it was a event that happened in the moment as opposed to anything deeper.
Hey, Nick, how much pressure is now on Josh McDaniels? The quarterback he's had for the last 19 or so, maybe minus 2 years, is gone. The most successful player maybe in the history of the NFL. He's now left with pretty inexperienced quarterback room. There were rumors that he was the one that maybe didn't want Cam Newton or wasn't that high on him, as I think his quote. Now he's the offensive coordinator of a Patriots team with a lot of expectations. How much pressure's on him?
I think the pressure lands almost solely, or not the least, the majority of it, at the feet of Bill Belichick, because this still resonates to the vast majority of America as a Bill Belichick decision. Even in the Gary Myers series of tweets, he lists six reasons that Brady left, many of which Wilds just referenced. He wrote he was worn out by Belichick and it wasn't fun. He wanted to create competition with Belichick to see who could win a Super Bowl first. He was tired of McDaniels. He wanted more money and a longer deal. That's also a Belichick issue. Lack of talent on the roster, that's also a Belichick issue because he's the one who picks the talent, and warm weather. Now, warm weather, Tom, you can't blame Belichick for that. It's just, you know, New England winters stink. But so four of those six things are directly related to Bill Belichick, not related to Josh McDaniels. But what I found very interesting, and I want to toss this to Coach, if I may, there is a danger in addressing any of these reports. And Coach, I'm sure when you were head coach with the Jets or with the Browns, there were things that came out that you felt either were unfair or were outright untrue. But once you start knocking down a singular report, it becomes a bit of a game of whack-a-mole. And I do wonder if one of the reasons you don't do that is because, well, then there's going to be expectation that if I don't knock down a report, I'm confirming it. And I think some people see this and say, a lot's been written about Belichick and Brady's relationship. We haven't seen him go on Instagram once and say, fake news, bad media, like he did with this. So I'm not trying to be unfair to Tom and say there is an implication there, but I think you open yourself up to it once you start responding to any report. Does that resonate with you?
Look, you can read into people's reactions any way that you want to read into them. But as soon as I saw this, as emphatic as Tom was with his response, the way that he clearly articulated how he felt about Josh, to me shows how important this relationship is to him and how wrong the report was. The idea that Tom wasn't having as much fun as he should have in New England, and he was the most unhappy guy at 8-0. You watch a Jordan documentary, he says, you know, winning has a price. Things have a price, and Tom understands what that price is. And we've talked about this over and over with New England. What's fun is winning. What's fun is winning. You're not going to have, Taco Tuesday and all the other things that
go with the.
I'm just saying, you're not having the same.
Unnecessarily. Bring up Coach Jordan Doc shot.
Hold on a second. LeBron doesn't own Taco Tuesday. You know, I'm just saying you're not going to have all the workplace, whatever you want to call it. You know, you're going to have a lot of hard work, a lot of winning, and a consistent approach. And, you know, it's like I've said it over and over. It's not for everybody.
Wilds, quickly, you're a Patriots fan. Do Patriot fans, do they care about this? Are they still in the weeds of what really happened? Have you moved on from this, or are you still waiting with bated breath to figure out what happened?
I haven't moved on from Coach's Taco Tuesday shot at LeBron yet, so I'm waiting for Nick's response on that. But me personally, I have moved on. I'm pro Stidham. I don't see a tremendous amount of value in trying to go over the autopsy of why Tom Brady left. He left. Honestly, let's move on. It's starting to be like, I'm just done with it. Nick, what do you think about Coach taking a few shots at LeBron in the last
I've counted four consecutive shows of someone not named Nick Wright shoehorning LeBron James into the conversation. Listen, the guy's working out. He's quarantined. Basketball's not even in session. And I feel like all of you guys need to deal with this LeBron James obsession that you seem to be dealing with and somehow get him into the show. Wilds might have moved on. There will be books written about Brady's decision to leave, just like there was about Kevin Durant's decision to leave. I think one of the reasons Coach said it, the reporting was so unfair when he referenced Josh McDaniels having kids, is the worry that the kids are going to get picked on because it's out there. Your dad pushed Tom Brady out. So Wilds might be an outlier as far as Patriot fans turning the page. I think a lot of Patriot fans are still as interested in what happened with Brady and what will happen with Brady as they are with anything with the 2020 Jared Stidham-led team.
And connecting my comments, right, Taco Tuesday to LeBron, is it a good example of being irresponsible?
That's what
reporting?
You were doing. Subconscious, always taking shots.
There's the irresponsible reporting that I'm talking about. That's a perfect example.
Coming up, a guy not named LeBron who doesn't play basketball, doing things not in a yellow jersey, not at the Staples Center. That's next on First Things First.
Now you guys are shoehorning Patrick Mahomes into the show. My God.
Chiefs GM Brett Veach recently said, quote, teams are certainly ready for a track meet when they play us, which might explain why their AFC West opponents all added speed through the draft this year. Speed is good. Nick, team strategy of trying to outscore the Chiefs' offense is blank.
It's a Hobson's choice. It's your only choice with terrible options. Hey, you can't try to stop the Chiefs' offense. No one's been able to do it when Patrick Mahomes has been healthy his entire career. So your only choice is to try to beat them the way New England beat them twice in 2018, the way the Rams beat them, which is get in a shootout and outscore them. The problem for the other teams in the AFC West are, you know, three simple words, and those words are Taylor, Carr, and Locke. Those are the starting quarterbacks for the three AFC West teams. I don't know if you're going to be able to outscore the Chiefs unless you at the very least have a very good, if not great, quarterback. But I get why this is the strategy. Loading up on corners and pass rushers isn't going to slow this Chiefs offense down. So I call it a Hobson's choice, Craig.
Yeah, I look at it as being respectful disrespect. And the reason why I say it is you got teams that are respectfully saying that, look, we can't stop this team, so let's try to go toe for toe and let's try to make it a shootout. However, the disrespect comes when you start thinking about the type of roster that these teams have. And let's be honest, the quarterback and the lack thereof that these other teams in this West, AFC West division do not have. You just mentioned them. I don't need to repeat them, but they don't have Patrick Mahomes. So it's kind of a slap in the face at Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid saying, look, you got the offense. We'll just keep up with you. It's not that easy.
Nick, I went with week four. Jarrett Stidham leads the Patriots into Arrowhead. And when we did the schedule reveal, we didn't make a bet. It's one of the tried and true television segments. The two people make a bet, and we compiled the top five bets that usually happen on TV. And you can pick one, or we can choose one, or you can give me good odds if you like. Number five is usually a terrible haircut. Number four, gross food, like you have to eat something disgusting. Number three, you have to wear the rivals jersey. That's a classic one. Number two, live tattoo, yeah. High stakes. A lot of times that's a fantasy football type thing. And number one, reduction in the strength of a nicotine patch that one of the people is wearing. So I don't know if any of those speak to you, but if you want to choose one of them, or we can make it a social thing that choose a bet for week four.
Real quick, I'll answer, and then I'll kick it to Jenna. I assume since you're offering to me that I have automatic consent from you. Yeah, we'll go with one. If the Patriots beat the Chiefs, I won't wear my nicotine patch I've been wearing for 12 years for a week.
Wow.
If the Chiefs beat the Patriots, you will wear the nicotine patches that I've been wearing for 12 years for a week. I'm telling you, it'll change your life, man. You'll start having these amazing dreams. It'll be great. You'll be sharper. You'll be funnier. It'll change your life. The best thing, so it's a win-win for you. So there you go. There's the bet. Lock it in. Put it in the bet book, Jenna. Jenna, we're locked in.
It is a lose-lose for me. I got one guy who's going to be down, and one guy who's usually down is going to be up. It's going to be way too hard for me to grasp the concept
of that.
So pick something else from the other four.
Wilds will feel great.
You got no nicotine in you, Nick. All right, Nicotine Wright wasn't the only one to predict the entire 256-game NFL schedule. Pro Football Focus also spent all of Mother's Day weekend simulating every game. You guys, they, like you, have the Cowboys beating out the Eagles for the division title. Back to you, Nick. Cowboys winning the NFC East this season would be blank.
I'll answer it in a moment. And I know that the audience at times and Jenna at times feels that I'm unfair and I pick on Jenna. And I don't mean to. I adore Jenna. But it is amazing to me that even in me and Wild's fake nicotine bet, Jenna didn't understand the terms. If I won the bet, Jenna, I would keep my nicotine patch. You're like, you'd be down, he'd be up. No, Jenna, I would still have had the nicotine patch. You were so confused.
All
even
right, so we're all on brand.
About games that haven't happened. They just baffle you. Anything related to gambling, Jenna just has a mental block on. All right, now to answer the question.
Moving along.
The Cowboys winning the NFC East would be expected. Listen, we've gone Cowboys-Eagles as far as division winners in the NFC East the last 4 years. It's flip-flopped. I think the Cowboys have the stronger overall roster, and unlike last year where they had that very easy opening three games and then it got much tougher, you look at the Cowboys opening seven games. They will be favorites in six of those first seven. Aside from at Seattle, it's hard to find the loss. At the Rams, home for Atlanta, at Seattle, home for Cleveland, home for the Giants, home for Arizona, at Washington, leading into the huge week 8 game at Philly. I think Dallas 6-1 going into that football game, 5-2 at worst. At worst, pardon me, Greg, I expect them to win the NFC East.
Yeah, I was having a brain fart for whatever reason. I was going to say unusual, but because of the flip-flop, that's what I was thinking. It's pretty standard. It's pretty typical. This is what happens in the NFC East Division. Teams don't go back-to-back, and the last team to go back-to-back was the Eagles in the 04-05 season. The Cowboys haven't gone back-to-back since 95-96. It is just standard for this division to go one team wins, that team has no chance the following season. So I'm going with it's going to be pretty standard if they win.
Jenna, I went with Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, after America's foremost prognosticator, Nick Wright. I totally agree with his rankings here. Cowboys, Eagles, Washington, Giants. The only issue I have, Nick, since we're all New Yorkers, you got the Giants at 2-14. I don't think Joe Judge can go 2-14. When former Patriot, Patriot, so I have love for him. Former Patriot Brian Flores was tanking and he won five games. So I need Joe Judge to win more than two games. But other than that, I love your predictions for the conference division.
Oh, okay. Appreciate that.
All right, so maybe you can just do those 256 games over again. Get the Giants an extra win or two. Moving on to the Texans now. Many people speculating that Deshaun Watson will be the next QB to receive a mega deal, one that could reportedly range between $40 million and $42 million guaranteed per year. That is so much money. Nick, Deshaun Watson getting more than $40 million guaranteed per year would be blank.
the Bill O'Brien tax. You take the highest paid in the history of the league, and you add 20 to 25%, and that's what you get when Bill O'Brien's negotiating on the other side of the table from you. We just saw this happen with Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil, who, you know, most famously before the Texans traded for him, was known for a gas mask bong on draft day. He sits across the table from Bill O'Brien and his infinite wisdom with no agent and gets $22 million per year. The next highest paid tackle in the history of football was $18 million. So that's a 22% raise on the next highest. So take $35 million. What's a 22% raise on $35 million? Oh, it's $42 million. So it's exactly what should be expected. Yeah, this is about what Deshaun Watson's going to get. And Brett Veach in Kansas City, for the love of God, get a deal done with Mahomes before Bill O'Brien resets the market on every position in the league because he doesn't know what he's doing. I love Deshaun. He should be one of the highest paid, but $42 million a year would only happen in Houston.
Well, the way I look at it, it would be well-deserved because you get rid of arguably your second best talented individual on the team in DeAndre Hopkins. That leaves you with your quarterback solely by himself. So, yes, throw all the bags at him. Back the Brinks truck up and give him what he is deserving. He's been everything as advertised and even more. He deserves it. Go get it, D-Watt.
Jenna, I went with Arbakian after Red Auerbach. It's a famous Celtics quote where he said there's two rules on the team. Rules for everyone and rules for Bill Russell. So Jeremy Fowler floated this idea that they were talking about a quarterback's only salary cap. I don't know how it would work exactly if quarterbacks sit outside the cap entirely and just live in a free market. But I think we're going to see a paradigm shift here pretty soon with the amount of money that Patrick Mahomes deserves in this next round of quarterbacks contracts that are just untenable within the current salary cap.
All right, speaking of quarterbacks, let's talk some Cam Newton, who's not yet signed. The free agent quarterback celebrated his 31st birthday yesterday. At least I think it was his 31st. That font he uses on Instagram is literally indecipherable, but we're going to go with it. Nick, the best birthday gift Cam could have received yesterday was blank.
And, well, he still could receive it. A nice Instagram post from Jenna Wolf. No, none of this shade, none of this, oh, Cam, I really like you, but something nice. Post something on Instagram. It'll be refreshing.
Good, Jenny,
for your followers. They'll wonder if you were hacked because they'll be like, wow, 77 consecutive posts of Jenna doing workouts and now something about someone else. It'll be a nice departure. Just something nice. After the show, thumb out, rooting for you, Cam. Hope you're doing great. Hope the rehab's going great. A nice IG post from Jenna Wolf would be the best thing Cam Newton could receive. He deserves it, Jenna. Go ahead, Greg.
He couldn't care less about an Instagram post from Jenna. He wants the contract. Get the man. Give him a contract. A team needs to call Cam Newton, sign him to a deal, and be secured for their backup situation, who he will eventually take their starting quarterback position's place. Period. Contract.
So I agree with half of Greg's. I think I put patience because I think it's all going to work out. But I disagree that he doesn't care about Jenna's Instagram. He's working out on Instagram. Jenna's working out on Instagram. I think some helpful hints from Jenna to Cam might be what pushes him over the edge and gets him signed. And on his Instagram yesterday, he was very good. He thanked everyone for the love and support from many people he valued. Family, friends, and the rare shout out to strangers. Just all the strangers that are giving him love and support.
That's
he thanked
where I
them.
Fall
so he
in.
Does care about you, Jenna.
That's where
you're
I fall
closer
in.
Than a stranger.
Nick Wilds, you're
exactly.
You're new to our group here. I've been basically tweeting and Instagramming out to Danny Ainge for the better part of 17 years. He has yet to acknowledge my existence. If I do one Instagram post to Cam and I get something back, the tables are, everything's turned upside down. I'm all pro Cam moving forward, and we're done with Danny.
There you go.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Have you
Let's see what happens.
Has she been Instagramming Danny Ainge?
A long
it's
time.
It's really weird,
a long
Wilds.
Time.
We'll talk
Coming
about
up.
It during the break. It's creepy. There's
we're
a restraining
gonna
order.
We're going to make you happy here, Wilds.
It's not great.
There's no restraining order. Will Jared Stidham lead the Pats to a title? Division title. next on First Things First.
Oh, that's good.
32 we are times. Just 5 days away from the return of live racing on NASCAR. Yes. Don't miss the historic green flag. NASCAR is back, guys. Sunday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, only on Fox. All right, time now for our prime performance, sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Ooh. The NFL hoping to gift us a season this year, 256 games of football. Nick broke down his projected NFC standings yesterday. Today we have his AFC side of it. Nick, what do you got for us?
Well, I want to give Coach a moment. Grab, Coach, your laminated schedule grid I sent you so you can follow along closely. The AFC standings now, so Coach, you can kind of have a multi-screen setup right now. AFC standings are, there are a few things probably jump out at you there. It's kind of a cornucopia of predictions. I got the Chiefs going 14-2. Now, I know a lot of you guys thought I'd pick them to go 16-0. I'm a realist. I don't think they're going to go 16-0. I think they lose at Baltimore, and I think they lose at New Orleans. Lamar has never beaten Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. He's 19-1 against the rest of the NFL in the regular season. I think that ends this year. The Chiefs then will be overwhelming favorites in their next 10 games leading into the Week 15 game at New Orleans. So I predict really good things for the Kansas City Chiefs being the one seed. Also, if you saw those standings, I've got the Browns making the playoffs. Now, I had the Browns winning the playoffs last year. I was wrong on that. My apologies, America. Can't be perfect. But I think the Browns have an opportunity to start their season off really well. I mentioned Lamar's 19-1 in the regular season against the whole NFL aside from Kansas City. That one is to Baker Mayfield. Browns have their toughest game of the year in week one at Baltimore. If they can win that, home for Cincinnati, home for Washington week five, home for the Colts, a team that week seven, home for the Bengals, or at the Bengals, pardon me, a team that desperately needs a fast start, I think has an opportunity to get off to a really fast start. And the other big takeaway I assume some people are going to have is Miami in the playoffs. Let me explain Miami just for a moment here. Miami won five of their final nine last year with a field goal against the Jets at the gun away from winning six of their final nine. Spent a ton of money on defense in the offseason, and they got a gift from the scheduling gods in the middle of their schedule. Look at week 7 and 8. Week 7, the LA Chargers come all the way across the country to Miami for a 1 p.m. kickoff. Week 8, the LA Rams come all the way across the country to Miami for a 1 p.m. kickoff. Back-to-back weeks with a West Coast coming east for early kickoffs. That combined with the soft underbelly of the Jets in that division, I really like the Dolphins' chances to go 9-7 and sneak into the playoffs. I didn't even mention the Patriots, Coach, but I do have them winning the division. There's a little, you know, a sampling of my AFC predictions. What are your thoughts, Coach?
Well, I'm okay with the Patriots winning the division. I think you have to put them there until someone proves that they can knock them off. 10-6 seemed a little bit light there. They haven't won only 10 games in I think about 10 years. The Bills at 8-8, I think you're wrong there. Very strong defensively. They've done some really good things offensively. To me, they're the biggest threat to the Patriots in terms of winning that division. The Dolphins could go either way. They overachieved last year. They've infused a lot of talent. How well they're able to make that fit and what type of significant contribution Tua makes and how quickly he can make that remains to be seen. In terms of the North, you have the Ravens losing four games. I'm not sure how you came to that. They've got the easiest schedule. But okay, I like the Browns making the playoffs 11-5. Seemed a little bit high to me. It's still, they've ton of talent, ton of good things in the offseason. But how well are they going to be able to navigate those personalities? And that's always the issue. The Steelers at 8-8, you can't underestimate the Steelers. You can't underestimate the Steelers. Once Ben Roethlisberger's back, what they did last year and the situation they were in was impressive. So that could go either way. The Titans, not sure why you have them as high as you do. They've lost a significant amount of talent and leadership. And that division, as much as you want to kill the Texans have been in control of it for the most part over the last 4 or 5 years. And in the West, the Broncos at 3-13, I think you're dead wrong there. Vic Fangio's effect defensively usually comes into play a little bit slower than some other coordinators, but it's coming. They won, what is it, 4 out of the last 5 games, and they've added some nice talent. And they lost the games they lost last year at 7-9. They lost a bunch on the last play of the game. So I think they're going to push in that division a lot more than you have.
Wow. Well, so first of all, Nick, I think Coach has done an excellent job studying the laminated schedule that you gave him. I mean, that really paid off dividends for you. I had a specific question about the Dolphins before you talk about the Patriots. I want you to dig into the Patriots, too. If you've got the Dolphins at 9-7, that feels into the playoffs. Yeah. That's win now mode. So how do you think Tua fits into that plan if they're in win now mode / develop Tua?
Listen, I think Tua is, if he's healthy, I think he's as good as Fitzpatrick. And I think they showed you last year they didn't need excellent quarterback play to win more than they lost at the end of the year. So I think they can go slow with Tua. I don't think he has to start week 1. But by the time you have that opportunity in your schedule, week 6 through 10 leading into the bye to really rack up some wins, I think we could see Tua on the field. Now, you mentioned the Patriots and how they get to 10 wins. I think this is really important if we could show the Patriots schedule, because I do not have them, Wilds, starting off great. I have them actually starting off 4-6, because I think those first 10 games are very tough. But that final 6, when the Patriots tend to be peaking, you're home for Arizona. Arizona goes west to east. Then a very interesting setup where you go to the West Coast to face the Chargers. Then on Thursday night, you face the Rams in the same city. The Rams the previous week are actually on the road. So they will be traveling for their Thursday night home game, and the Patriots won't be. You're then in Miami and then home games against the Bills and the Jets. I think the Patriots go 6-0 at the end of the year, and that's how they end up winning the division away from Miami and from Buffalo Wild.
Okay, then I feel okay about it. And then in playoffs, it would be the Belichick Bowl. You've got Patriots-Browns in Foxborough. I think that would just be a tremendous game for the entire league.
Well, Coach, weren't you involved in, first of all, it'd be great. I'd be super excited, and we'd see Baker in the playoffs. Weren't you involved in a Patriots-Browns playoff game on the other side of the equation? Like, people think of you with the Patriots and head coach with the Browns, but weren't you in Cleveland for a Patriot-bound playoff game? Feels like the last time the Browns made the playoffs.
Yeah, it was a little while ago. It was when Belichick was the head coach and we played Parcells-led Patriots, and Cleveland won. It was in Cleveland. But the Wilds, if the Patriots start 4-6 with Stidham, you're going to have some real emotional issues. I mean, I can't see you suffering through a 4-6 start to the season. We might have to get you some counseling at that point.
Paul, hit the Cam Newton music. You know what I want. I don't know what I'm rooting for. Don't shake me off my Stidham. I am locked in. Stidham cement. I am in, and I'm supporting Stidham. 4-6 start would throw me a little bit, though. Oh, that's Cam's music. I'm back.
I don't even know which quarterback's music that is at this point. Stay focused.
Sometimes it's
Yacht
Trevor Rock.
Music. Stay focused, Wilds. Nick, I gotta ask you a little bit one more time to go over why you think the Browns are going to be better this year. What changed last year? I had one guy that came onto our show all last year that agreed with me that maybe we should wait and see how the Browns unfold before we write them into the playoffs, and that was Eric Mangini, who now also thinks the Browns could make the playoffs. They have a similar roster. Yeah, they have another year under their belt, but it doesn't feel like they have any more unity. They've had no offseason to really get together and train and practice. Why do you have them making the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think unity was their issue. I think their issue was terrible coaching and terrible quarterback play. And I believe they'll be better at head coach by default. And I don't think Baker is an awful quarterback. He played like an awful quarterback last year. There's no way around it. So even if he's not a future MVP, if he just plays like the 14th best quarterback in football, that is a markedly better team. Plus, they did address the offensive line this offseason, which was their biggest point of weakness as far as roster construction. And they added Austin Hooper, which you do wonder, is there enough footballs to go around? But it's another additional weapon. And furthermore, Jenna, look at those final three games of the year. To me, they have as good of an end of the season as you can have, not even mentioning the Jags in week 12, but home for the Giants, then at the Jets, at the Giants, at the Jets, then home for Pittsburgh. I think if they are sitting there at 8-5, they have a great chance of running the table at the end of the year. I also have concerns. Mike Tomlin's never gone below 500. I don't think he will. But the Steelers, starting in week 12, every single game they play is in cold weather. And I understand Big Ben maybe has some, you know, built-in insulation. But for a 38, 39-year-old man playing quarterback, I do question whether or not that's going to work out well for the Steelers coach, even though I love Tomlin and I love their defense.
Yeah, look, I think the Browns have a tremendous amount of talent, and I really like Kevin Stefanski. But, Jenna, I'm not 100% saying that this is a lock. They are going to have to reel in those personalities, and they're going to have to make those personalities work together a lot better than the last administration did.
All right, Nick, you had a side bet going with Wilds. I think you were, what was it, a nicotine patch? It was the Chiefs-Patriots. I'll do a third or second other side bet with you. Whether the Browns may, I'll bet you a nicotine patch that the Browns do not make the playoffs. I hope I explained that right.
If they do, you have to wear a nicotine patch for a week.
Well, obviously I can't do that, but I'll have a third cup of coffee. we got to take a break. Coming up, is Tom Brady about to change the Bucs franchise? His star wide receiver thinks so. That's next on First Things First.
Hey, Nick.
Bucs Pro Bowl wideout Mike Evans pretty excited about his new quarterback, which could be an understatement. He said Brady, quote, is about to change the franchise. Nick, too much? Not enough? Where do you fall on this?
No, he nailed it. And I would, the only critique I would have is I think that he's saying he's about to do something that we actually have information he's already done. Jenna, you have the amazing stat that from, what was it, 05 to 19, the Bucs had the fewest nationally televised games of any team in the entire NFL. And this year, they have the most. The NFL gave them 4 nationally televised games. The year after they won the Super Bowl, they gave them 5 nationally televised games. The month after they signed Tom Brady. So I would say as far as popularity, noteworthiness, relevance, Wilds, he's already changed the franchise. Now, as far as winning, that's a separate story, but he's already changed the franchise-wise.
Yeah, I agree. Ticket sales are up. The jersey sales are up. Mike Evans also talked about how the influence of Tom Brady and Gronk were going to have on the receivers and the other tight ends. Greg, I wonder, since everybody is on Zoom calls, how hard it will be for them to actually have real chemistry, or do you think they'll be able to just sort of pick up pretty fast?
That's an interesting point, Wilds. However, when you're dealing with greatness, and obviously Gronkowski and Tom Brady already have a chemistry and a rapport, and they're probably in the backyard playing catch right now. But when it comes to Mike Evans, when you have a guy like Tom Brady, he just knows so much about the game that he's going to put the ball in spaces where you just have to be. And Mike Evans will quickly adapt to that, and they'll be just fine. I think we're going to see a chemistry that strikes really hot, really quick. But I agree. This culture has changed for the Buccaneers. It's a win for the Glazer family. It's a win for Bruce Arians. This is exactly what he's wanted, a guy to come in and really give them a boost and a buzz around the town and city. It's going to be exciting down there in Tampa Bay.
Buzz around the whole league at this point. All right, let's move on to Aaron Rodgers now. Our friends over at Fox Bet have the Patriots as the most likely team to land Rodgers in 2021 if he leaves the Packers. I'm just spitballing here, but I put that at an 8 on Nick's nightmare meter. Greg, could you see Rodgers leaving Green Bay for New England?
You know what? I mean, I couldn't see him leaving for New England. I don't see that at all. He's a Cali guy. I feel like if there was any destination that would fit Aaron Rodgers, it would be somewhere out west. So the Las Vegas Raiders, there's a possibility there because they're out west. But again, I don't know. The whole older quarterback going to Bill Belichick, it already hasn't played out the right way or the way we thought. I don't see him getting another older quarterback.
Hey, played out great. Got a few Super Bowls. And Brady's from California, Greg, so I'm going to throw that out the window. Meanwhile, Patriots fans, I'm cemented in Stidham. I'm still stuck. I'm still rooting for Stidham. But now we've got Deshaun Watson. There was odds about that. There was now we got Aaron Rodgers. We got Cam. I got Trevor Lawrence. Oh, we got a new one.
That looks terrible. Oh, that looks awful.
I love it. We just put them all in there.
Would he wear 12?
In the same. Would we're not retiring 12? It. We're keeping it open for Aaron.
They're not going to retire 12. All right, may I for a moment here? Listen, I work with Fox Bet. I'm good friends with some of the people at Fox Bet. I'm going to do something slightly unprofessional, which is make a request that should be done via email. I'm going to do it live on television. My friends at Fox Bet, will you please allow me to be the house for any of these wagers that come in that Rodgers is going to go to the Patriots in 2021? What is it? Minus or plus 400? I'll take that action. I'll take out a second mortgage on my house, whatever I need to do to put the money in escrow, because that is 0%. Sure. It is 0.0% that Aaron Rodgers is on the New England Patriots in 2021. It could be plus 400. It could be plus 40,000. It wouldn't matter to me. It's no chance of happening. Jenna, I'll explain to you after the show what that means, the plus 400, plus 40,000. Yeah. Just know this. Here's what you need to know. That Photoshop is the closest we are ever going to see of Aaron Rodgers playing for the New England Patriots. Mark it down, write it in stone. So yeah, you bet all the money you want and I'll take those bets, Jenna.
Well, I literally don't understand any part of your answer, but it sounded really funny. So I was very entertained. And now I know, Aaron Rodgers not going to the Patriots. And I'll call you a house if that's what you want. Moving right along, how about Mike Tyson? 8:53 and still a lean, I didn't understand, lean, mean Instagram machine. He started training again. My goodness, he looks incredible. Posted this video of himself yesterday with the caption, "I'm back." Nick, any doubts about Iron Mike right now? Look at this guy.
No, and if I had him, I wouldn't say him on television. Are you out of your mind? No, Mike can do, look, this, I don't understand how he can still move this fast.
Right?
I'm not shocked he's in this type of shape, but I can't believe his hands are still this fast. And if you watch the guy who he's sparring with, the guy seems understandably wild, so be a little afraid. I'm all in on Mike, and if I wasn't, I wouldn't say it out loud because I'm not an idiot.
Okay, so I think this is going to happen. I think it's going to be a real Mike Tyson comeback because Floyd got $275 million to fight Connor. I think the money is going to be too much, and I also think the media landscape right now is going to necessitate and demand that Mike Tyson gets that much money. Boxing has always followed the latest media trend, whether it's closed circuit, whether it's network television, whether it's cable television, whether it's pay-per-view, and now it's streaming. I think the money will go up and up and up, and all of those networks or distribution methods need stars, and there's no bigger star than Mike Tyson. I think this is going to really happen. Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you, Wilds, and I'm with you as well, Nick. Number one, I can't believe how fast and how powerful he still looks. But to your point, Wilds, this is all of it. It would draw audiences. It would draw every viewer. I'm talking the Mike Tyson fans from long ago. It would draw. It's like Michael Jordan, what we're watching with The Last Dance. For all of us, or most, a lot, I shouldn't say me, I got to see him play, but for a lot of individuals that have never seen him play, they're glued to the television because it's Michael Jordan. They get to see him in action. This would be not only pulling back the Mike Tyson fans from long ago, but the ones that would have loved to see him fight in the ring. It would be huge, and I would be the first one sitting at my television.
It's going to happen.
I love it. I'm in for sure. All right, let's end this morning with the most iconic jersey in all of sports. Tua Tagovailoa's Miami Dolphins rookie aqua jersey is the NFL's top seller now over the last 2 weeks. Nick, you started a trend. I'll send it to you, my friend, our house. Go ahead. What do you think?
Listen, I told America and America agreed. Greg, can you run and go get your jersey? Do we have time at the end of the show? Hey, by the way, Wilds, you know what the number two best-selling jersey? Oh, yeah! The number two best-selling jersey in America is the Tua Tagovailoa white Miami Dolphins jersey. Look at that gorgeous jersey.
Greg.
The teal, the orange. It represents the South Florida, the city of Miami. Greg can't even fit it anymore. Greg's been working out too much.
That is awesome.
Greg looks great.
Look.
Perfect. That is perfect. Show it
stuff.
To America,
nice.
Greg.
Good stuff.
This is what it's all about right here.
Have a great rest of the day. Greg, don't take that off. Stay safe, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.